Welcome to Coffee and Jesus. I'm your host, Jael, coming to you from Texas. It is August the 19th, 2020. I have just finished my virtual teaching for today, and I couldn't wait to get on here and do Hypocrisy in the Church Part 2, a warning for believers. So how should we respond when Christians fall into scandalous sin? Well, first, you know, let's all realize and admit and accept that men and women in positions of leadership are human beings. So they are sinners and they are flawed, myself included. What is the root that would make someone get into this type of predicament, especially considering the position that they hold? Well, it's just like anybody else, the rest of us. It's the lie of the enemy. It's temptation. It's weakness. It's succumbing to the flesh. It's not having an adequate prayer life, having strongholds that haven't been dealt with, etc. So how should we respond as a body of believers? It's okay for you to be sad and angry. You can be both. Romans 5:12, for it is through sin that death came into the world. Every ugliness, each misery, all suffering is the result of sin. You can also be angry at the devil for getting to your brother and sister. Support those who are having an issue, because every scandal, like every war, has casualties. If it's a pastor, think about his wife and his kids. And most men are pastors, and so that's why I'm prefacing it that way. It doesn't mean that women cannot be pastors. Pay attention to how things are handled. Pray about the situation. Hold each other accountable so that more problems don't ensue. Be gentle with your approach, how you answer these people, how you treat them. Realize that God has the final say. We're all sinners, and we can be redeemed. We can be forgiven. We should all be in prayer for our Christian leaders, whether it's a leader on a job, in government, or in the pulpit, because you know the devil is after them really hard more than anybody else. We shouldn't let this rock our faith. And the devil will try to use this to break up churches, to break up families, congregations, etc. We should always have hope and take comfort in the goodness and sovereignty of God. Now, the reason why it's under my podcast for Hypocrisy is because a lot of churches do not deal with or address these things in a godly way. In fact, they gloss over it and they act like nothing's wrong and nothing happened. And that's really almost worse than the sin. We cannot look away and ignore the problem. We cannot leave people in the pulpit who have a problem with pedophilia or addictions or whatever it is. They have to sit down, they have to step down, they have to get help, and once they're healed and delivered, then you can address them coming back. But to just gloss over it and pretend like it didn't happen, and let's say something happened with the youth pastor, lie to all the parents, that's not acceptable. A lot of people are concerned because the struggles, the battles are not aired publicly. Well, you need to have wisdom in that. Everything cannot be aired publicly. But again, we can't act like these things aren't happening or that they did not happen. There is a process of addressing things in the church in a biblical manner. Christians need to do all we can to deal with grievances face to face in a biblical manner, as it alludes to in Matthew chapter 18, particularly verses 15 through 17. legalist Christians who are religious zealots. We have a very bad habit of acting like judge, jury, and executioner when there's moral failure, except when it's someone we like. I'm sorry, but that's a big ouch right there. Ew, excuse me. Oh, the devil. He didn't like that, but it's true. And I'll use an example. So I have a very dear friend who is a minister, a very faithful one, but she makes excuses for one particular politician, even when he's wrong. Now, he's done a lot of good things, but he's also done a lot of bad things, and she refuses to acknowledge it when he does bad things. That's a problem, because it's just like a parent. We have to hold our kids accountable. We have to tell them and correct them lovingly when they are wrong so that they can learn and so that they can change. When we keep making excuses, the person on the other end has no reason to change. Why should they? Because you're just going to accept it and feed into it and continue to enable them. I've also seen brothers and sisters take delight in the fall of other brothers and sisters. That's wrong too. We shouldn't be happy that they fell into sin, into scandal. That's not good. There's something wrong with our heart. And that means that we don't love that other person if we're excited about their failure. I've also heard people say, well, I saw that coming, but you did nothing to prevent it. When you see the red flags, pray for the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you on what you can do to help this person. Don't just let your brother and sister fall. If you see something that other people don't see, and that happens sometimes. Sometimes people are too close within the leadership circle, and so they can't see each other. But people outside the circle, God may show you. But just pray for godly wisdom and how to handle that. I've also seen gossip, and that's wrong too. We can't gossip about these people. We need to pray for them. So let's seek to embrace one another, encourage one another, and forgive one another. There has to be boundaries when you're a leader. And those boundary lines are usually crossed, and that's what causes the scandal, whether it's a sexual scandal or a scandal with money or a scandal with power and prestige. A boundary line somewhere has been crossed. We must extend grace to the best of our abilities. If there's a crime, it has to be dealt with by law enforcement. Always research, seek out the truth. Just don't take one person's word over the other because you've known them longer. I've also seen that. Because you've been in this particular church so long and you've been in this circle of friends for so long, well, I don't believe that. They would never do that. Well, sweetheart, that may not be true. Seek the Holy Spirit, do your due diligence, and research. If we're the ones in the wrong, we need to confess it quickly and step aside. We need to step aside. We need to step down. We need to get back right with the Lord. It's very important for people in leadership to have accountability, and it gets harder the closer you are to the top of whatever organization you're in. But most churches have a board of directors or elders, someone who they can go to for accountability. It's important that we repent of our sins no matter what level we are or which fivefold ministry we're in or what position we hold. We are all one decision away from scandal. Just one decision away, y'all. And we know that those in spiritual leadership are always under spiritual attack. So we have to keep them covered in prayer. But more than that, we all need to examine, have self-examination of our hearts. Psalms 139 talks about how the Lord has searched us and that he knows our hearts. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is anything offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. It's just so difficult because people will get ostracized in the church and marginalized for their sins, but it doesn't happen at the top. That's where the hypocrisy comes in. When you know things are going on that should not be going on, and you do not address them quickly, expediently, properly, and biblically, we have to hold people accountable. That doesn't mean you don't love them anymore. You are saving their soul. You're helping them to grow. We cannot afford to be hypocritical about our brothers and sisters. Not just in leadership, but those of us who volunteer or those of us who are in positions of volunteering. If you have a serious stronghold, step down. Move aside. You're not in a position to lead. And no, you'll never be perfect, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. So seek the Holy Spirit. Admit wrongdoing. Repent. Step down. Step aside. Get counseling. Go to rehab. Go to marriage counseling. Go to therapy. Whatever is, you know, your sin is, get help for that. Get right with the Lord and let him lead you and see if you're even supposed to be in leadership. There's a lot of people in leadership who just got into leadership because they're friends with somebody or they're related. And they're not even called to do whatever it is they're doing. And they have not met the qualifications in Timothy and Acts for their position as a bishop or a deacon or a pastor or what have you. So guys, and this is just for believers, I'm just strongly asking us to stop being hypocrites because the world is watching us. If we're hateful, how can we lead people to Christ? If we're unforgiving, how can we lead people to Christ? If we're sleeping with any and everybody, how can we lead people to Christ? If we're going out getting drunk every night, how can we lead people to Christ? If we're angry all the time and cussing people out, how can we lead people to Christ? Then on the flip side, when people come into our churches and our congregations, and it's an unwed mother, two people are living together, somebody looks disheveled and they smell of weed. Are we going to accept them into our congregation? We better. Because we are the place where they can find healing through Jesus. See what I'm saying? This is where the hypocrisy comes in. We act like we're perfect. There's nothing wrong. We shove things under the rug. We hide it in the closet. And then when people come to us who are less than perfect, we shun them. We don't treat them nicely. We act like they don't belong. That's hypocritical. We're all sinners, myself included. We've got to watch that. That's being judgmental. That is a zealous spirit, a spirit of a Pharisee. Not zealot, sorry. It's a Pharisee spirit, a religious spirit. So, Father God, we just ask for forgiveness for our pride and for our judgment, for our lack of compassion and empathy, because we will never look into the eyes of someone that you do not love who is not your son or daughter. That's the bottom line. Help us to remember that, Lord, that we are all your children. We are all fallen in need of prayer, redemption, saving grace, and mercy. Lord, help us to be compassionate. Help us to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit to the least of these. Help us to help the orphaned and the widow and the homeless and the foreigner and the immigrant and the addict and the pedophile and the trafficker and the drug dealer and the career criminal and the white-collar criminal and the politician. Lord, help us to remember that you can be a teacher and a pedophile, that you can be a pastor and a homosexual, that you can be a coach and a rapist, that you can be a police officer and a drug addict. So Lord, help us to remember these things and to understand that you love us anyway, and that you love us so much, you don't want us to stay in that state, and that you want us to come to you and surrender to you, to submit our lives to you and repent and get healing and freedom and deliverance. So Father God, help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to spread the good news. And let us look at each other with your eyes as sons and daughters, flawed as we may be, frail as we may be in our human flesh. Help us to see each other and love each other as you do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope that you were blessed by the podcast and that you enjoy the rest of your day. Be blessed. Bye, y'all.